Sure is good to see everybody here this evening. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we do have a few people that are visiting with us. It is always our intention, always our desire to make you feel welcome. And whenever you're back here in the Searcy area again, hopefully you want to come back and worship our God together with us again. My sermon this evening is a very simple lesson. As I was studying the Bible one afternoon in my office, I began noticing a pattern in certain scriptures. And the pattern had to do with two particular words. One of the words was outside, and the other word was inside. Now just think about this right now. Aren't you glad you're not outside? I'm glad to be inside. You find these two words used in the New Testament pertaining to Christianity. And so my lesson this evening is going to be us examining ourselves to see whether we are inside or whether we are outside. I'm going to begin going to the sermon outline now, reading from Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. All I want you to notice here is that the Lord refers to a group of people as those who are outside. As you go further in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 12, it says that you might walk properly toward those who are outside and that they may lack nothing. So there again is that same phrase, those who are outside. When you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of a devil. So exactly what does this phrase, those who are outside, mean? What it means is those that are not members of the church. People in the community that are not Christians. Those who are outside are those who are not Christians. Going further now over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 12 through 13, he says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Here again, now you have those who are outside being mentioned here, but it is contrasted with those who are inside. So I ask the question, who are those that are inside? Those that are inside are those that are Christians. Those that are outside are those that are not Christians. And so right off the bat, I ask you this question. Are you inside or outside? You notice there's only two options there. Either inside or you're outside. Going now to 1 Peter chapter 4, 17 through 18. Here it says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. When judgment day does come, judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And he says further, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? There's something I want you to learn from this text right here. Those who do obey the gospel of God, they are the ones that constitute the house of God. For you to be in the house of God, you have to be someone who has obeyed the gospel of God. And he asked the question here, since judgment is going to begin to the house of God, what's going to be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And he says further in verse 18, and if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? So now I want to take all of this verse and tie them all together. The house of God are those who have obeyed the gospel of God, and those are the individuals who are partaking of the righteousness of God and seen by God as being righteous. On the other side, you would have those who do not obey the gospel of God, and they're referred to as the ungodly and the sinner. So my question I ask is, are you in the house of God? How do you get into the house of God? By obeying the gospel of God. When you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So here we learn what the house of God is. The house of God is the church of the living God. So my question now comes down to this. Are you in the church of the living God? Are you in the house of God? Because the only way to get into the house of God is by obeying the gospel of God. We asked a question earlier from the scriptures. What will be the end of those who don't obey the gospel? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You'll find the answer over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 8. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we learn something very important. If you are not in the house of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel of God, if you are not in the church of the living God, when the judgment day comes, because you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are not in the house of God, in the church of the living God, inside, then what you have is flaming fire, vengeance, and one word, hell. So going further with this, in Hebrews chapter 10 now, 37 through 39. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. First, I ask you this question. Are you in the house of God? Are you in the church of the living God? Are you inside? If you answer that question, yes, my next question is, are you staying inside? Are you staying inside? Because you need to understand this. You can be in the house of God and leave. You can depart from the living God. And as a consequence of departing from the living God, the end of it will be, as he says here, perdition. So if you do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hell. And if you are even in the house of God and you depart from God, the end is hell. So what you want to do is be inside, be in the house of God, be in the church of the living God by obeying the gospel of God, and stay inside. Don't leave God. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Before I go any further, those who are doing his commandments are the ones that are inside. They are the ones that are in the house of God, in the church of the living God. And so blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Those who are inside, those who are in the house of God, those who are in the church of the living God and remain there, when judgment day comes, because you have been keeping his commandments by faith, you will be allowed the honor to pass through the gates of the city into heaven itself. But look at the next verse. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Those that are outside, those that are outside, those that are outside, when judgment day comes, if you're not inside the city of heaven, you're outside, and outside you will not be allowed in heaven. So my question for you is quite simple. Are you inside? Are you outside? And you notice there's only two options. And if you're inside, are you staying inside? Now let's take this concept and go a step further. In the Colossian letter, chapter 1, 13 through 14 is where I'm reading from now. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And then it says in verse 14, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Here you have two locations. One location at the beginning of the verse is where you're under the power of darkness. To be under the power of darkness is to be under the power of Satan. But notice this. He has conveyed us, another translation says transferred us. He has conveyed us or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So I want you to see there's two possibilities of where you can be located here. One, you can be under the power of darkness. Or two, you can be in the kingdom of the Son of His love. Where are you? In relationship to this, are you under the power of darkness? Or are you in the kingdom of the Son of His love? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. How does He call you into the kingdom? 2 Thessalonians 2:14, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you are either under the power of darkness, or God has conveyed you over into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How does He convey you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love? He calls you. And the way He calls you is by the gospel. And those who obey the gospel, God conveys from being under the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So where are you? You got to understand, there's only two possibilities. Either you're under the power of darkness and Satan, or you're in the kingdom of the Son of His love. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We learned earlier that the way you get inside a house of God, inside the church of the living God, is by obeying the gospel of God. Well, guess what? The way you get into the kingdom is by obeying the gospel. When you obey the gospel of God, not only are you inside the house of God, inside the church of the living God, you're also in the kingdom of the Son of His love. This is how you get into it, by being born of the water and born of the Spirit. Born of the water has to do with, Titus 3:5 describes it this way, the washing of regeneration. Baptism. When a person obeys the gospel, this is how you become a citizen in the kingdom of Christ, transferred, if you will, or conveyed out of the power of darkness over into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so when you go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, speaking about judgment again, it says, "The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather," notice this, "out of His kingdom, all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness." Remember what we learned earlier? Where is judgment going to begin? Judgment is going to begin at the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the kingdom of the Son of His love. And so my question asks you this. Even though you are a citizen in the kingdom, are you keeping the commands of the King? Are you following His commands by faith, or are you practicing lawlessness? And that is the idea of, I'm going to go my way and I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what you say. Lawlessness has to do with rejecting the authority of Christ and going your own way. So who are you following? Are you following the King? Are you following yourself? We'll conclude this part of the sermon with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 22 through 24. "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end, when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." So now we're getting back to Judgment Day. And when Judgment Day comes and Christ comes again, notice what He's going to do to the kingdom. He's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father. You look at the world around us right now. Everything that is in it is going to be burned up. There's only going to be one thing out of this entire phase of existence that will be carried over into the new heaven and the new earth. And that is the kingdom, the house of God, the church of the living God, the saved, those who are inside. So again, I ask you the question, where are you? Are you inside? Are you in the house of God? Are you in the church of the living God? Are you in the kingdom of the Son of His love? And now let's take this and close it out with one other concept. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 to nail down this next perspective. And again, I'm wanting you to see the perspective has the idea of location. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." There are physical blessings and there are spiritual blessings. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. There are people who are not Christians who have families. There are people who are not Christians who get well. So there are people who are not Christians who indeed have physical blessings in their life. But the spiritual blessings, the privilege of being able to go to God in prayer and cast all of your cares before Him and have Him hear you and respond to your prayer, the forgiveness of your sins, the honor of partaking of the Lord's Supper, the hope of eternal life in heaven with God. All of these spiritual blessings are only found in one location, and that is in Christ. So my question for you before I go any further is, are you in Christ? Because that's where all the spiritual blessings are going to be found. Look at some other verses on this. In Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 10 this time, "that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him." Do you see the emphasis has to do with in Christ, in Him? As you go further in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise. How's that going to be? In Christ. I don't know if this means anything to you, but I'm a Gentile. As far as I've studied my genealogy, we come from Europe. If you're from Europe, you're Gentile, okay? So for us to have any hope of being partakers of the promise of eternal life in heaven with God, we can be in the same body, and then being in the same body is equivalent to being in Christ. I got a question. How do you get there? Here's the answer: through the gospel. Are you seeing the pattern? How do you get into the house of God, into the church of the living God? By obeying the gospel of God. How do you get into the kingdom? You're called by the gospel, and those who obey the gospel are in the kingdom. How do you get in Christ? By obeying the gospel. And when you obey the gospel, you are in Christ, and you're in the body. Going now over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 27. "We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I cannot overemphasize the importance of this verse. This is how you get into Christ. You first have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You be willing to openly confess that faith, and then motivated by that faith, make the great commitment of repentance. And then culminating the rebirth process, if you will, when you're born again, by the washing of regeneration, you are baptized into Christ. That's how you get in Christ, where all the spiritual blessings are going to be obtained and found. There are no spiritual blessings to those that are outside. Only for those that are in Christ. So my question for you is this: where are you? Are you in Christ, or are you outside? If you're in Christ, the only way to get there is by obeying the gospel of Christ. But let's go further with this. Once you are in Christ by obeying the gospel, you got to stay there. Over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, he says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." So now we're dealing with Judgment Day and His coming again, and it talks about how what we need to do is abide in Him. When you are in Christ, once you are in Christ, stay there. Stay there all the way to the close of your life. Obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, and then abide in Christ all the way to the close of your life. Going further with this, over in 1 John chapter 2. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. The man says, but he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now look at the next verse. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. How can you know that you are in him if you're keeping his commandments? You see, that's the same thing that's been taught already over and over and over. Once you're in the house, keep his commandments. Once you're in the kingdom, keep his commandments. When you're in Christ, keep his commandments. How can you know you're in Christ? By keeping his commandments. And so, he goes further in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What was it they heard from the beginning? It was the word of God. What commandments is it that you keep? It's the word of God. The word of God produces the faith. The word of God produces our understanding of the will of God. And so all we do is keep the commandments by faith. When you are keeping the commandments by faith, you are abiding in Christ. The text says, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So you want to be in Christ, and then you want to stay there. You want to be in the kingdom and be keeping his commandments and not practicing lawlessness. You want to be inside the house of God, inside the church of the living God, and staying there by keeping his commandments. So let's close this out now by going over to James 5, 19 through 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. We learned earlier that when you are inside, you can leave. You can leave God. You can depart from the living God. The text here talks about someone turning and wandering away from the truth. You can leave Christ. You can leave God. If someone wanders away from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. If you leave Christ and leave God, you are spiritually dead. And so that is why we go after them and encourage them and encourage them and admonish them to come home, to come back to the Father. Because when someone is restored, that which was lost is found. And that which was dead is alive. And the text says here, covered a multitude of sins. And so you see, the lesson is really pretty much about location, isn't it? Matter of fact, when I first put it together, I labeled the sermon location, location, location. Because that's what it's all about. Your location. Where are you? Are you right now as I speak inside or outside? There's only two possibilities. Are you in the house of God, which is the church of the living God? The way to be in the house of God, the church of the living God, is by obeying the gospel of God. If you have not obeyed the gospel of God, you are outside. And as a consequence of being outside, if you stay outside when judgment day comes, you will not be allowed to enter into the gates of the city. But you will be outside. Are you in the kingdom of the Son of His love? There's two possibilities. You're either under the power of darkness, which is under the power of Satan, or you're in the kingdom of Christ. He conveys you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love by calling you through the gospel. Those who obey the gospel, when they are baptized into Christ. And this is how you become a citizen in the kingdom, through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So are you in the kingdom? And then the final question is, are you in Christ? The way you get in Christ, again, guess what? Same way. By faith. And then being baptized into Christ. But if you're in Christ, are you staying there? Once you're inside, stay there. Once you're in Christ, stay there. Once you're there, abide there. Don't go outside. Don't leave Christ. Don't leave inside. Because it's only going to be those that are inside that will be allowed the honor to ultimately be inside the gates of heaven. So where are you? If you answered outside, why don't we change that? Why don't you come inside where there is safety? Come inside where all the spiritual blessings can be found in Christ. Come a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. You know, there are people today that are trying to get across the border of America. You know why? They want to enjoy the benefits of being citizens of this country. Well, let me tell you, folks, there are much better benefits in the citizenship of the kingdom of Christ. That's where all the spiritual blessings are. Do you desire the forgiveness of your sins? Do you desire to be reconciled to God? Do you desire eternal life in heaven with God? You can have these spiritual blessings in Christ, but you have to have faith and then be baptized into Christ, becoming a citizen of the kingdom, enjoying the benefits of being a citizen in the kingdom. And because you're a child of God, when you die in Christ, you will receive the inheritance of a child of God. But all of that comes by you obeying the gospel. If you saw someone here this evening who honestly believes Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, be willing to openly come forward, confess your faith. Motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. That is, I will keep your commandments in my life by faith. If you're willing to make that great commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body, baptize you into Christ. This is not two different baptisms. They're all taking place at the same time. Because when you're baptized into Christ. You're baptized into the one body. You're baptized for the remission of your sins. And now you are in the church of the living God. Inside the house of God. In Christ. A citizen in the kingdom. What you do after this, after you have been baptized, is arise to walk in newness of life, keeping His commandments by faith in your life, abiding in Christ, staying inside. But if you've left, and you've left the Lord and left God, come back where there's safety. Come back inside where the spiritual blessings are. Come back where there's salvation. Because where they're outside, outside is nothing but hell in the end. If you desire to come back to the Father, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.